This is Connect with Encompass Health, our podcast for healthcare professionals by healthcare professionals. I'm your host, Mary Ellen DeBartoleben, and I'm also the company's National Director of Quality. In this season of Connect, we're focusing on healthcare innovations. With all the data and research available today, healthcare is changing fast. But how do you implement and sustain these changes? In this episode, we're talking with my colleague and friend, Cheryl Miller, Vice President of Therapy Operations, on how she and her therapy innovations team implement evidence-based research into everyday practice. Welcome, Cheryl.
Thank you, Mary Ellen. Nice to see you again.
Good to see you. In addition to being VP of Therapy Operations, Cheryl's kind of a renaissance woman. She's one of the most interesting people I know, just based on the sheer volume of her hobbies.
I think the occupational therapist in me has to keep my day full of meaningful activities like pickleball and painting. So,
for those listening who may not be familiar, Encompass Health is the nation's leading provider of inpatient rehabilitation. We are constantly opening new hospitals and in new markets. We're also dedicated to improving the effectiveness of care in the inpatient rehabilitation setting. Cheryl and her therapists lead many of these efforts, and she's been with the company about 30 years. Before we get started, Cheryl, tell us a little bit about your role with the company and how it's changed and how healthcare in general has changed during your time here.
I began with Encompass Health back in the 80s. I'm approaching 38, 39 years now. I think at some point you lose count. I started off as a staff occupational therapist, and we know that the landscape has really changed. The industry has changed and rehabilitation has changed. But I think where we are now has really focused on that change. How do we approach change in a way that's beneficial to our patients and trying to do it in a strategic way and a meaningful way? So my role at the company is to lead change and quality of therapy around the country. So physical, occupational, and speech therapy around the country. How do we implement quality care? And we don't want care to just be high quality. We want it to be scientific based. There's lots of research out there about how we should provide care. And we carefully select the types of therapy we do based on the research and evidence out there. And that's something that's really changed in the industry. I think when I first started with the company, you know, 38 years ago, there wasn't a lot of science and research out there. A lot of it was based on research that was done in trial and error and the old archives of occupational therapy. And now there's really great research out there that can drive our practice.
And in healthcare, we hear a lot about evidence-based research, evidence-based practice. But as you said, it's not that easy to put into everyday practice, especially when you're trying to implement it at an enterprise level like we do at Encompass Health. What is your approach to getting evidence-based and peer-reviewed research into clinical practice?
Well, that seems to be one of my number one focuses in the last several years, because on the forefront of medicine is what they're calling now knowledge translation and implementation science. How do we translate research and science into practice based on the knowledge we acquire from reading the research? I think that our therapy leadership board, and I'll speak specifically to therapy, really focus on how we take that knowledge and implement it into practice strategically. And there's really not great science out there on how we do that. So you'll read an article, and from the article, you might learn something from that particular study, but it's really difficult to translate it into practice.
How have you directed the directors of therapy and the therapists at our hospital to try and take what they're learning and reading and put it into practice with their patients?
The way we approach it is typically, I don't like to use the term evidence-based practice, which is what everyone, I think, in the industry started off using years ago. I think it's really evolved into beyond evidence-based practice to evidence-informed practice. So evidence is one piece that informs
that
practice.
Yeah.
So we research is important. We need to, that scientific evidence is one piece of three pieces that we try to look at when we implement change into practice. So if we're trying to make a clinical decision, is this something we should do in practice? And we'll talk about an example in a little bit, but if we want to implement something, first we will look at the research. At Encompass Health, we also look at the data and what the data is telling us out there. And we also look at the opinions of subject matter experts. So we kind of take a three-prong approach to look at how evidence informs our practice. So it's science, data, and then what all of our subject matter experts say. You know, I've been treating patients for 38 years, 40 years, and I've treated maybe several thousand stroke patients. And what I've learned by treating all of these stroke patients adds value to making those decisions based on that evidence. So we have to look at science and research, and then the opinions of the Cheryl Millers out there. But then you look at the data, and Mary Ellen, you're a data expert. You love looking at data, and the data can tell us what's working, what's not working.
Yeah.
Are we meeting benchmarks? Are we exceeding benchmarks? So all three pieces are really important to drive our evidence-informed decision-making at Encompass Health.
Do you have a recent example of putting this approach into practice?
I like to pride ourselves at Encompass Health about being an organization of change. And what that means to me is that we are always looking to provide the best care possible. And everyone knows that healthcare is constantly evolving. And what I do now and what our therapists do now is not what we did 38 years ago. And I think we would all kind
or even,
of be,
or even 5 or 10 years ago.
Even 5 or 10 years ago. And I think if we were, that would be concerning because new science and research has evolved out there. And there's new data streams that are telling us different things. So
and technology.
Oh, and technology is a big part of that. And that's why we have better data. Mm-hmm. So speaking to an example, obviously one of the big issues on the forefront of healthcare is pain management and the reduction of the use of opioids in America. And obviously it's a very big focus for us at Encompass Health for the benefit of our patients. So what we have done, and I think we are in a unique position because therapists, physical, occupational, speech therapists, come from specific frames of reference that can impact pain, and we don't use medication. So we Right. have to impact pain in a non-pharmacological way. Mm-hmm. So a few years back, we as an organization, we really analyzed that data. And Mary Ellen, you were a big part of that, like looking at the data, how much opioids are we using? How are we impacting pain? And many of our patients have pain and their ability to participate in rehab is limited due to their pain. So our therapists really felt like there was a gap. And that's our first step. Is there a gap in the services provided or is there an opportunity to improve the services provided? So we really looked at, you know, what was happening out there for pain management and what can therapists do to impact this crisis? So once we identified there was an opportunity or a gap in what we were doing or providing, and I use the word gap loosely because I mean that we could do things better. We could do more things. You know, there's all kinds of non-pharmacological interventions out there now. You know, everybody uses a cream on their leg or aromatherapy or all these other yoga, right? I consider those non-pharmacological pain interventions that therapists could use. So we felt we could do a better job. So that's where we started. We need to make change. We need to, you know, implement change.
Yeah. And we were working with physicians and nursing and pharmacy. It made sense to involve therapy too.
Well, and I think your point there is really what's exciting for me about being with Encompass Health is this interdisciplinary approach to care. And as we looked at this type of change, we have to look at all the other disciplines. So mm-hmm. I think that's an excellent point. After we identified that this is something we wanted to address, it was really about pulling together those pieces I spoke to you about looking at what evidence is out there. So what is research telling us about these non-pharmacological pain interventions? And when you look at the science, this was some interesting stuff because what does science tell us about aromatherapy and pain management? Right? Everybody has a witch hazel to sell you and reduce pain. So the science was really fun to look at. So we gathered the evidence and then we had to analyze the evidence and research. And believe me, you could read an article about aromatherapy. I use that example. And you could find 100 articles about why it works, why it doesn't work, how long you should put it on, where you should put it, and go down the list of all the non-pharmacological interventions and try to think about the research and sciences out there and how do we translate that into practice? Well, it was a bit daunting. We read all the evidence, we analyzed it, and we kind of put that on the shelf. Then we looked at the data out there. what is the data telling us about pain management and what kind of pain, chronic pain, acute pain, how many opioids were they using? What levels of pain? What were the impacts of pain? Lots of data. And we had to analyze the data. Then comes a really important part, which I feel we have an advantage at Encompass Health, is all the experts we have pulling together those PTs and OTs and speech therapists to have this expertise in pain management.
And so they love sharing that. They love being engaged and involved and talking about their subject area of expertise.
Right. Well, and again, you think about those people that have done this for X years. They're to me, that is a missing piece in the science world.
Yeah, they're passionate about it.
Yes. And they can kind of translate that knowledge that we've learned it from the science and research and say, well, that's all well and good, but in my practice, I don't have the ability to do that, or I don't have the space, or I don't have the equipment, or I don't. So their ability to translate that information is where I have really begun to study this. We take the science, we take the data, and now we get these subject matter experts together and we say, okay, let's take all this information and translate this into what our practice guidelines are going to look like. So the output or the deliverable from this change we are making was going to be clinical practice guidelines related to non-pharmacological interventions for pain management. We took all those steps. We developed these guidelines. We offer training to, you know, we have several thousand therapists across many states. We delivered education to them. And then we kind of piloted it. Whatever changes, whether it's documentation or education or...
We built some measures around it.
You're right. We built measures around it. So that we had to do all these other steps to operationalize it. Those operational pieces we piloted because, you know, we are a large organization. Like, are we on the right track? Is this going to work? Are additional changes needed? So we kind of took it, and going into the end of that kind of cycle was piloting it and then implementing it across our entire organization, which that's a whole nother step. And then the final step of our process is sustainability and how do we sustain it? And right now, this was a couple of years ago, we started this process. And this year we're introducing some higher level education and some additional kind of operational deliverables. So that's kind of the process we move through. Typically, that example is related to pain management, but it's very strategic to implement change in a science or evidence-informed methodology.
You mentioned sustainability. So taking us through the implementation, translating academic studies into clinical practice, and the rollout we know is a huge undertaking, but probably another and maybe the biggest challenge is, like you said, sustaining that change. So how do you ensure those practices get really embedded and adopted to sustain over time?
Well, and Mary Ellen, speaking as a quality leader, you know that a lot of that is driven by data.
Yes.
And measuring, you know, the impact. Often it's also the feedback from the patients, feedback from the staff. And most importantly, I think, is kind of reassessment. How are we reassessing that? Is every new employee getting educated? Are we monitoring the documentation expectations in the medical record? Are we tracking the compliance with the patient education materials we want to deliver? So it's about those sustainability measures. And I think our company, as you know, has developed some sustainability tools for the hospitals to reassess each level and each element of the process or the change we put into place. And I think that reassessment is really critical.
Yeah. And we try to build it into the culture. So that just becomes the way of doing things rather than, oh, it's a big initiative of, you know, the month.
Agree. Every time we implement a new program or a clinical decision, like the examples we've talked about, part of the conversation from the very beginning is how are we going to keep every new employee up to date in this? Every new hospital we open, how are we going to make sure that they adopt these same processes? That conversation happens at the very beginning. So I think sustainability is embedded in our culture, like you described, for sure.
Since we've been talking about evidence-informed clinical practice, I think we should mention some of the research that Encompass Health supports. And a lot of people may not know that Encompass Health is very supportive of research in the inpatient rehabilitation space. And we have a therapy grant program, which I think is about to have our call for grant proposals soon. Cheryl, can you tell us a little bit more about this program?
Yeah, so this was kind of an idea that Encompass Health and our therapy leadership board launched probably about 8 years ago now. It's something I'm really, really proud of.
Cheryl, you're being modest. You really drove this. This was something that you came up with and really fought for and really developed.
Yeah, I really thought outside the box on this, and I'm very passionate about developing new research, because what was happening to me out there was everything I was reading wasn't what I was looking for. So I felt like I needed to contribute, or we needed to contribute, to the science base. So we intentionally developed a grant process or a grant call that is designed to look for therapy grants to fill the gap in science available out there. So I'm really proud of it. We're entering our eighth year. We generally have a dozen plus applications each year.
Do they have to be Encompass Health to apply?
No, actually, it's most of our applications are from major universities. They do often partner with Encompass Health, but it's not a requirement. Some of them do not. Some of them do. We're kind of a great petri dish for research. We have great subjects, whether it's our staff or our patients.
And we can scale.
Yeah, and we can scale. One hospital, two hospitals more. So they like doing research with us. Our grant application is designed to kind of help fill that gap in the therapeutic interventions for inpatient rehabilitation specifically. And there's lots of gaps out there for that science.
So if you're interested in that grant process, stay tuned to our website and social channels for forthcoming announcements. That's an annual process that takes place every spring, regardless of when you're listening in. Cheryl, is there any research that's come out of this program that you're particularly proud of or want to highlight today?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, probably about 3 or 4 years ago, we had an application from the University of Pittsburgh. And they worked with our Sewickley Hospital. And it was really a feasibility study about a new strategy training therapy that we wanted to implement in our hospitals. So they did that study. It was like, can we implement this new type of therapy or this different approach to therapy at our hospitals? They worked on it for 2 years. From that, it was great outcomes, improved the functional abilities of our patients during the existing length of stays. The outcomes were fantastic. But the more exciting part was they applied for an NIH grant, and this was an innovations grant. And last year, we participated in that with them, with 30 of our hospitals, to look at the readiness for change, which was really exciting for me, because I wanted the answer to that question. Are we all, mm-hmm. are we ready for change of this scale? Can 30 of our hospitals, are they ready to implement this new type of therapy at our hospitals? And really great things came out of that study, which I won't go into, but it was a larger scale grant that came from this small feasibility study that we funded. And the really exciting part is that this year in 2023, we're completing an NIH grant application for 2024. Obviously, all that is up in the air, but we're actually proposing to implement this science-based or evidence-informed treatment in 30 of our hospitals, and then eventually, hopefully, all of our hospitals, because the outcomes will be very favorable for our patients. So we're right knee deep in that process right now, but I'm really excited. I never dreamt we could be part of such a large NIH grant possibility.
It all started with a dream. I mean, there was no grant program. And now, how much can you award each year?
We're up to $50,000. So it sounds like a small number in the research world, but we're generally funding implementation, case studies, small cohorts, feasibility studies. Obviously, this is an NIH level, but it's all about, you know, starting the process. And I love what you said about it starts with a dream, because I definitely feel that way every year.
Yeah. This kind of seeds the process.
Yes, exactly.
So to pivot a little bit, another group that you lead is the Therapy Innovations Committee, which is really interesting just because in the therapy space, there's so much just rapid advancing technology and innovation. Can you talk a little bit about that group and how you evaluate new things coming out in therapy and how we might implement those?
Well, Mary Ellen, it's very interesting because I think that is another dream I had many, many years ago. And I'll say probably 15 years ago. And I find myself often approaching that committee with the same philosophy I just described. So there's lots of innovations out there. There's lots of technologies. There's new applications on the iPads, all of which they're saying can fix people after some type of injury. We as a learning organization feel committed. We have a responsibility to say, what is new and possible for our patients out there? We have that responsibility. Mm-hmm. But we can't take, again, I'll go back to the witch hazel. We can't go back to every witch hazel and say, this is going to help our patients.
Yeah, we can get inundated with some of those.
We do get inundated, yeah. So we take the scientific approach I just described to you and say, is there a gap in the technology available? You know, what does the science say? What is the research? What is the data? What do our experts think? What do our patients think? What do our physicians think? And we take it through this process, which sometimes takes up to a year at plus, to say, is this an innovative solution or technology that our therapists can use to help our patients, to improve our outcomes? So all those pieces are critical to make a decision about implementing technology in our organization. We're very selective. We're very cautious. We're very responsible. I take the responsibility very seriously to approach it strategically. Again, looking out for the best for our patients. You know, and I'll go back to our values about setting the standard and doing what's right. And our process revolves around those values.
Thank you, Cheryl. I get to work with you on a daily basis, but it's great to have this opportunity to talk with you about the innovative ways you and your team are improving the lives of our patients through evidence-informed practice and new innovative technology.
Thank you, Mary Ellen, for having me on today.
Like you said, it's not easy to implement and sustain, but if you break it down and bring the right people to the table, it can be done. To our listeners, thank you for joining us. You can catch up on past episodes at blog.encompasshealth.com/podcasts or find us wherever you listen to podcasts.